Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
About the latest news today, nothing really topical. I mean, nothing really, no really topic or anything topical, but no real topic. So if you want to call in, feel free. Once again, the number is 323-843-6160. So obviously, just to briefly recap, obviously this weekend the verdict for the Trayvon Martin case came out, and we talked about that on yesterday's show. And there's now talk that the federal government is considering, the Justice Department is considering reviewing the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case and possibly going to file criminal charges, criminal civil rights charges against George Zimmerman now that he's been acquitted in a state case. So, you know, they opened an investigation into his death last year, but they stepped aside to allow the state prosecution to proceed. So that's what's happening with that. And so it may end up that George Zimmerman actually has to pay in a different way. He obviously was found not guilty on both charges of murder or second degree murder or manslaughter. So he will not have to answer for anything criminally, but just, he may have to answer for something civilly. And he's not going to have a life. Obviously, this man is going to have a basically be imprisoned the rest of his life, you know, a prison of his own making. And rightfully so, if indeed he did do what he said. Now, yeah, I've been thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know, we don't know what really happened. What I do know and what I feel actually happened, you know, is that he was racially profiled. He did racially profile Trayvon Martin. He did pursue him, blah, blah, blah. However, I also, but what I don't know what happened is if indeed Trayvon Martin was fighting him and all that stuff, which I'm sure he was because he's threatened by some man following him. But at the moment when they were fighting and running, tussling around, whatever, George Zimmerman made the decision to pull his gun out and to shoot this kid. And he may have actually done it just, you know, because he was afraid for his life or whatever. And that's what the Sandra Ground Law is about. But he could have shot him in the leg, he could have shot him in the arm, whatever. I don't know. I my point is, I don't think that he is innocent. If, you know, I think he should have been found guilty of something, but I've said that already. I'm not going to talk about that all night long, but I just wanted to say that because I think that it's good that the federal government may actually prosecute him. I'm not really sure how they're going to prosecute him on a civil rights basis exactly. Excuse me. But, you know, whatever happens. Hey, Caleb, nice to see you. Yes, exactly. Go into hiding like Casey Anthony. I'm sure that's what he's going to probably have to do. And hopefully he will.
Oh.
Sorry, I needed a drink. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. In other news, the guy from Glee, Corey, I can't remember his last name. he played Finn on Corey Monteith. Died yesterday or the day before yesterday of apparent drug overdose. We're not sure really what happened to him, but he was on Glee. He was 31 years old, and he died. And apparently, he's had a long-term history with drug use and has had problems with it. He's been in rehab, etc. So he obviously lost that battle. And I think it's sad because I think, you know, Hollywood is the worst place. It's the worst place for someone who is mentally or emotionally unstable because of depression or addiction issues or addictive personality or insecurity or whatever. But it's also the biggest draw to people like that. So it's really a double-edged sword, I think Hollywood is, or the movie industry or film industry or TV industry. I think it's really, you know, like I said, it draws in all the people, the wrong type of people, but those are the exact people that it needs. So I think it's really sad when, you know, someone, especially 31 years old, ends up dying because they lost a battle with drugs and they couldn't cope with reality, with life, because the reality of, I mean, maybe who knows, it could have just been that he was addicted to drugs, it could have been that he was depressed and committed suicide, took an intentional overdose. I mean, we don't really know. Most likely it was just an accidental overdose. But the fact that someone needs to have drugs and has to have that high and chase that feeling in order to feel sane or normal or able to function is sad to me. I have never had any drugs at all. I've never even smoked pot. Pardon me. So I've never done any kind of drugs at all except for prescription drugs when I needed them. And even then, I only take them if I need them. I've always been very weird about putting foreign chemicals into my body. I've always just been very, I don't like, to me, it's like polluting my body. It's weird. I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, I feel like when I take drugs, it's almost like polluting my body. So I will take them if necessary. Absolutely. I'm not like a Christian scientist or something, but I'll take them if necessary, obviously, and without hesitation. But if I don't need to take something, I don't. I don't just go popping pills because I feel bad or whatever. You know, and I take aspirin if I can or whatever. If that doesn't do the trick, then I have a prescription for Vicodin or something. I'll take that if it's for a really bad pain or something. But I've never been addicted to anything. I just haven't. I've never had an addictive personality. I've never had a desire to use drugs. I've been around them many times, especially pot. You know, when I went to college and when my high school years went through college and everything, I've been around it a lot, and my friends do it. And I have no objection to people who want to smoke pot. I have nothing against pot specifically at all. I think it should be legalized personally, even though I don't use it and have no desire to, because I think it's ridiculous that pot is not legal and alcohol is. My point is that I've never had any kind of addictive personality, so I don't really understand what it means to be truly addicted to something, like maybe Corey Monteith or whatever his name is was addicted to. Hey, David, nice to see you. I don't really get addiction in that way, because you know when people are like addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or prescription medications, I mean I understand rationally and like intellectually that they are obviously addicted, and that there is a something else motivating them in their brains. And so it's a chemical addiction sometimes. Sometimes it's a mental addiction. Sometimes it's both. But I don't really get why people are addicted in that fashion, because I just have never had to experience it. Thank God. That's one thing I didn't have to deal with. Never have had to deal with is addiction. So fortunately, that's another problem I have. but in talking about pot or marijuana, cannabis, whatever, I absolutely think it should be legalized. I think that it's ridiculous, as I said, that it's not legalized. I think that it is no more toxic or no more dangerous. It's probably less dangerous in terms of drivability or things like that, but than alcohol. So people who want to use pot, I say more power to you. Although I have no interest in it, I think you should absolutely have the right to smoke pot. And I don't think the government should tell you what you can and can't do with your own body. And that applies to abortion, and that applies to drug use. I don't even care. You know, honestly, I think if they just took drugs, all the narcotics and the illegal narcotics out there, like pot, even cocaine, crack, and you know, there's obviously different levels of drug abuse and different types of drugs. And I think pot's probably the lowest of the rung in terms of its danger to people's health or whatever. Most people are just going to fall asleep and like get hungry generally when they're on pot. They're not going to be a danger to other people generally, nor are they going to be in a car and want to go kill someone or whatever, like cocaine would or some other thing. So there are some drugs like cocaine, for example, or heroin or other drugs, depending on what you're talking about, that should, I think, never be legalized simply because they are a public danger. They create a public danger. And you could say the same thing almost about alcohol in some ways, because it is a public danger if you say that you get behind the wheel of a car. However, I think ultimately most drugs should be legalized. If people want to fuck themselves up and they want to get high, whether it's on pot or whether it's on cocaine or whatever, let them do it in the privacy of their own home, as long as they don't do it in public or whatever else. Let them do it. Fine. Who cares? It's not my right to tell them what they can and cannot do or put into their body, just like you can't tell me I can't put a dick in my body, or or I can't drink a Coca-Cola, or I can't drink a beer or whatever. You cannot tell me what I can and cannot do with my body, and you can't tell a woman what she can do with hers when it comes to abortion. So I think if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If you're going to say when it comes to abortion, even though abortion and drugs are two different issues, to me, looking at abortion versus drug use in terms of civil liberties and rights, I think there's similarities there, because a woman has a right to her own body, and so does every other person in terms of what they put into it. So I think if a woman has the right to her body, I think anybody else should have the right to put what they want in their body. Now, if you're going around killing people or hurting people as a result of your drug use, then that creates an issue, obviously. But the point is, nothing is going to stop drug use. It is here to stay. It is always going to be around, and it's always going to be part of the fabric of this country. And if you legalize it and tax it, then, hello, you can pay for every fucking bridge that needs to be repaired, every street. You can pay for every school. The education system can be completely revamped. We can be number one in all these things again. And our infrastructure, everything can be the way it should be here. We can pay for shit, right? Instead of borrowing from freaking China and from other countries and letting them walk all over us and be the powerhouse that we once were in terms of, economics. So I think it's a great thing if people were to legalize drug use. And maybe, yeah, there definitely should be regulation and how people can use it and when or whatever in terms of, how or whatever. But the fact that people are going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. Just now they're just doing it illegally. Then it would be legal for them to do it. Now, I do think there are some drugs, as I said earlier, that are just basically a big danger to people, just like the prescription drugs now. They have prescriptions for them because they're not to be used just randomly or recreationally. So I think in some ways there's some drugs that should be regulated that way as well, or maybe off the table for that reason. But generally, I think the lighter, if you want to put it that way, drugs, whatever, do what the fuck you want. I don't care. I'm very liberal, as you know, And I am a very, very liberal person, and even so liberal that I would say that I think most drugs should be legalized. So, and I think it would be the betterment for the society in general if it were. And all the people who are in prison now, all those thousands or millions or whatever it is, hundreds of thousands of men and women in prison because of drug use, instead of going to prison, I think they should be forced to go into some sort of treatment facility. And, of course, you've got to want to change. But stick their asses in there until they do. I mean, stick them in there. If they're there for 3 months, they come out, they go back to drugs, stick them back in there again until they're fucking ready to change. If they're there for 5 years, stick their asses into a fucking treatment facility until they change, until they have decided they will not use drugs again or harm themselves or whatever. So I hope that, you know, because the thing is, if people go into a prison, they go to prison and they're stuck there, and yeah, they're not using drugs or whatever. Actually, they are sometimes. They sneak them in or whatever. But I'm just saying that they don't really use drugs in there because they can't, because they're restricted from doing so. But once they get out, they typically go right back to the same behavior. So being imprisoned for drug use is stupid. It's, you know, it doesn't make any sense to imprison someone for something that's an addiction, because you can't be rehabilitated in prison for something that is an addiction. You can only be rehabilitated in prison for things that are behavior, like, you know, robbing or, I don't know, murder, which, you know, most people don't get out. But I'm just saying, in those ways, those things could possibly work in terms of being in prison, making people think about their actions, blah, blah, blah. But when you have an addiction, it is something that is completely driving and motivating your behavior. And unlike other people who are not addictive, you know, in prison or whatever, they're there, yeah, and they're off the drugs, but it's a short-term effect. Eventually, they're going to get out, and it's going to be the same. David says, they said I need to go to rehab. I said, oh, very funny. I wish I had that song. I'd play it next. Amy Winehouse. And that was a sad story, another sad story of somebody, you know, all these really great people who die because of drug use or being, you know, addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever, and because of depression and things like that, and this combination of things. And these really great, talented people we've lost because of this. It's very sad to me. I find it to be very sad. But, you know, a lot of them, yeah, tortured soul. I think a lot of them are like that, tortured souls. I think a lot of the best are best actors, actresses, singers, musicians, whatever. Artists in general are tortured souls. I mean, if you look back on the famous artists of our time, the stories, you know, Van Gogh and Gauguin and even Picasso. I mean, all these people had such, in some ways, not Picasso as much, but anyway, these people, artists, and of course Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, and you know, God, it could go on and on. But all these people had these sort of tortured souls and this sad existence, and they were longing for love, longing for something or someone else to love them back, or wanting something that they never were able to obtain in their life. And so they lived a miserable existence. And sometimes they typically did end up, Montgomery Clift's another good example, ended up actually taking their own lives intentionally or accidentally as a result of their drug use or alcohol or depression. So it's really sad. Judy Garland, thank you. Yes, Judy Garland. Judy Garland, Heath Ledger, yes. I mean, yes, the list is endless, unfortunately. And of course, when this happens at the River Phoenix, yes, when this happens to them, they become legends. They become icons. Not that they weren't already to some degree, but they become legends once they die in that manner. And I'm not suggesting that they do it intentionally. I don't think that they do. But I'm saying that as a result of this, that happens. And I think people identify with, I think everybody can identify with depression or with sadness or alcohol abuse or use or whatever to some degree, because either we've known someone who's suffered from it or we ourselves have suffered from it. And we see an actor or actress or a musician or whatever that we look up to. We feel like, wow, this person's going through the same thing I'm going through. This person feels what I feel. You know, you identify with them. And so in a way, they kind of help save people, unfortunately, from hopefully doing the same thing that they did, making the same choices they did. And sometimes, unfortunately, it makes people want to follow their path, which is a kind of twisted thing. But anyway, that's what I'm thinking about that. God, I'm so fucking dizzy. I don't know why. I think because I waited 8 hours to eat again. I keep doing that every fucking day. Anyway, sorry. So Anyway, if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I'm going to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk about more of the latest news. If you want to call in and give your 2 cents, feel free, and I'll be happy to talk to you. And we'll be right back. So we're back. The number to call in is 323-843-6160. Feel free to call in anytime. I'm happy to take your phone call if you'd like to talk to me about whatever's on your mind. So I talked a little bit about the Zimmerman case, talked about Corey Monteith. I can't say his fucking name. Monteith, anyway, from Glee, dying from a parent overdose or something. And so I wanted to talk about also the fact that I live in Texas, as you know, and fucking Rick Perry, who's a fucking moron, has been governor now for 13 years because he went in when stupid ass George Bush took over the White House and shit in the middle of his term. So he got to run like three times or whatever for 6-year terms or 2 years or whatever, 2 6-year terms. Anyway, so he's leaving. Thank God. He's a complete moron, by the way. He's like the epitome of idiocy. Anyway, so we've got this new fucking dumbass coming in soon. But I would love if we get a fucking Democratic governor here, because we have not had one since Ann Richards. And I don't know if you know who Ann Richards was, but she was this older lady with big white hair, and she talked like this, and she's very Texan, but she was a Democrat, and she was very, very Democratic, very liberal. And so we haven't really had one like since her. So I think I just need to go run for fucking governor. I wish I could. What I was going to say about that is, though, is that I've said this before too. Look, if a normal person like me can't run for governor or for presidency, you can technically run, but no one's going to know who the fuck you are because you don't have any money to advertise yourself. And unless you're taking campaign fund donations or whatever, it's almost impossible to compete with the presidency for the presidency or governorship of a state. Plus, I mean, I would never win anyway. Not that I want to really run. I'm just saying that it's a shame that real people like us can't run and really win in this day and age of politics for office, unless you're wealthy or highly connected to the right people. Can you really win? And I don't think that it was meant to be that way. I think it was meant for anyone to be able to run, for anyone, any race, any color, any background, whatever, to be able to become president of the United States or vice president or secretary of state or governor of a state or whatever. And unfortunately, this is the world we live in today. And I was just listening to a show earlier today, and they were talking about the fact that that certain races today don't really have equality, and it's true, they don't, and I think it's sad. But I think also that most people today don't give a shit. It's like you walk down the street, you see somebody who's different than you or whatever, and you respond to them in whatever way you're going to respond to them. But I mean, it's like you think of them in a certain way because of their race, or because they're a woman, or because they're gay, or because they're whatever. And you get really tired of people just judging people based on ridiculous, stupid shit. And I just, get tired of it. And there is a woman on Blog Talk Radio that I have talked to before. Her name is Bathtub Girl. And I've talked to her on my show, and she has recently been saying some racist stuff about black people and saying how black people are better off during slavery and how black people should go back to Africa and how black people are just horrible shit. And it's not just about black people, but just this racism and bigotry. I'm just so sick of it, I'm just sick of it. I mean, I've been fighting all my life against this shit, and I'm fucking tired. Can't people just take a fucking break and stop having to be so randomly evil? I mean, we have a world filled with all these kind of people, and we can coexist easily, but people would much rather call out our differences. Gets very, very tiring for me. So maybe something will change in the future. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what to talk about. So I'm going to play another song, come back, and figure out something to talk about for the next 20 minutes. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Oh, yeah, the riots. Thank you. See, my brain's not working because my blood sugar's all fucked up. I'll talk about that next, and we'll be right back. Thank you. PlayStation 3 was 6.60. So I was reminded in the chat room about the riots, and I just was talking about that earlier, listening to a show, and someone had said on the show, the host of the show had actually said that there are so many other things far more important to be rioting about than this case. And on one hand, I understand what he meant. There are things that are very important that we should be rioting about that people don't do a thing about. They stay home on their sofa. They don't say a word. They don't get up. They don't Twitter about it hardly even. They just sit there and ignore some of the injustices and the things that we are not fighting about, that we are not rioting against. But I don't agree that this isn't something to riot about, possibly, because the thing is this, it's to the people that it is affected directly, the people that of this country that actually have an understanding of what it means to be someone like Trayvon Martin, or someone of a minority race, or someone that is somehow different and has been oppressed in this country. It is something to riot about. It is something when you feel there is injustice, because if you just remain silent, nothing changes. If you don't have visibility, nothing changes. Now, are there other ways to go about it? Yes, there are other ways to go about it. There are better things to be doing. But today in the Bay Area, in the Oakland area, they had about 125 protesters who were starting fires and smashing windows in the downtown area because of the verdict in the George Zimmerman trial. And there were protests in San Francisco as well. There were protests at the BART station there. There were protests in other places in California as well. But nothing was ever at the violence, the level of violence that the Rodney King verdict kind of, you know, helped to create in its day. But I think, you know, unfortunately, there are people who feel that this is the way to go about it. Now, I understand the anger. I understand the rage, and I do get it. I personally do not feel the same level of rage or anger, and the reason is because I wasn't surprised by the verdict, and I wasn't necessarily expecting him to be found guilty, although I feel he should have been. So I wasn't disappointed as much as these people may have been, because I figured that he would be found not guilty because of the legal side of things. But is this really the right way to go about doing things? Is it really the right way to go about and destroying banks and buildings and people's property and burning shit down to make a point? No, I think there are probably better ways to actually handle this type of an issue. Caleb Wood says, I feel like we're 1 to 3 more cases away, like Zimmerman and Casey Anthony, from having the entire jury system changed or something. What do you mean changed? Do you mean for the better, meaning that the way things are going, that they're going to get worse? Or do you mean that you think that as a result of another case, things are going to get better? What do you mean by that? Did have an ask about Hollywood on Twitter. Oh, yes. Chris Cuomo is a hottie. That's for sure, David. He's a hottie. You get to talk to him. That's cool. Craig Caleb says, people are tired of seeing obvious criminals getting off of the hook. Yes, but I think the things that are wrong with our justice system aren't things that can be fixed overnight. I think that they go much deeper than just the justice system, because the justice system is made up of people, and the laws that are, you know, the laws could be changed, of course, but even changing a law is not easy, or the way things are actually, you know, decided upon. But I think that the real issue is deeper than that, and it's cultural. And, you know, it's been a thread of this country for hundreds of years in terms of bigotry especially. But, you know, as I've said on my show before, if you are anyone of a particular race that's not white, heterosexual, white Anglo-Saxon heterosexual Protestant male, then you do not have the same level playing field that person would have in a courtroom. You're seen as a suspect or less than this other person would be. Unfortunately, that's just the case. Not by every single judge, and not in every single courtroom, and not in every single state, but I think that a preponderance of judges, courtrooms, etc., first of all, are Caucasian male. That's the first thing. And therefore, that is typically the case. And even according to, you know, white females as well. And of course, there are racist black judges and Asian judges and Hispanic judges as well. But I'm saying generally that until the way people are viewed and perceived, the perception of each other is changed in this country, it's not going to really matter what laws you put on the books, because there's always a way around them. There's a way to rule however you want. That's what I should talk about is tort reform, because I saw – hold on, let me read the chat room first, though. People are tired. As a group, people will continue to get more upset the more cases like these are sensationalized. 1 to 3 cases away from people being causing a big uproar and demanding change is what I mean, says Caleb. Obviously, nothing can be changed overnight. And yes, most happen to be cultural and deal with racism, et cetera. David says cultural, generational, institutionalized. We have so many levels to peel back. If you want to kill a weed, you need to get to the root. Yes, that's exactly my point, David. That's precisely what I'm trying to say here, is that you have to get to the root of the problem, and I think it's a cultural issue and not just a legal one. So, but I do agree with you, Caleb, that yes, there need to be changes made some in our culture and the way we approach people and everything else, but also in somehow in the way things are decided upon. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to. Because the people in power like the way things are. That's why they hang on to it they cherish it so much. They hang on to it so dearly because they like the way things are, because it behooves them to keep things the same. And so anytime you want something to change, it takes a lot, especially in this country. But I wanted to talk about a documentary I saw. I hope I didn't talk about this already yesterday. I don't think I did. I want to talk about a documentary I saw a few days ago, on Netflix called Hot Coffee. And it is about, it starts out about particularly the case where the woman spilled the hot coffee in her lap from McDonald's, and she sued the McDonald's Corporation for millions of dollars, okay, for $1.25 million, whatever. And she sued them period, but unspecified punitive damages. She didn't specify that amount. But what happened is, so I'm sure everybody's heard about this case, and everybody has really sort of demonized this woman and said, oh my God, it's a frivolous lawsuit, it's a horrible lawsuit, you know, oh my God, she should have known the coffee was hot, blah, 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 it's her fault, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yes, she should have known the coffee was hot, and she did know the coffee was hot. But let me explain to you what happened and explain to you why this was not just the case of someone getting a small red burn on their arm or their leg. What happened is she and her son were in her car, in his car. She just retired. She was like 78 years old or 76 years old or something, and she'd retired. And she was like the first day of the rest of her life for retirement. And she was in the car. It was a Ford Probe. Apparently, in this particular model, I don't know if they made probes all this way, but the Ford Probes didn't have any cup holders at all, not one cup holder, okay? And so when they pulled through the McDonald's in the morning to get their breakfast, her son handed her the coffee, and he asked for some sugar and some creamer, and he handed it to her. Since there was nowhere for her to put the coffee, she put it between her legs, and when she did that, she opened the lid to put in the creamer and the sugar. And while she was doing that, because she's old, I guess, she spilled it into her lap. Okay, stupid thing to do. Yes, I agree. The coffee, however, at McDonald's is not kept at 100 degrees or 110 degrees, not even 120 degrees. It's kept at 140-degree holding temperature. 140 degrees. If you want to know what 140 degrees feels like on your skin, then you should go boil some water, get a thermometer, and feel it, because it does not feel good at all. Not only does it not feel good, the longer it is in contact with your skin, the worse burn you're going to get. She had a third-degree burn. And I say third-degree burn. They showed pictures, which were quite frightening because you could see her coochie. But anyway, they showed pictures in this documentary, because she's dead now, of her inner thigh area from the emergency room. And it was black and peeling and disgusting. And you can die from third-degree burns because your skin is an organ, essentially, okay? Your skin's an organ. Yeah, she's dead now. Your skin is an organ, so it hurts like fucking hell. So anyway, it burned her really bad. The pictures, if you saw them, you would be horrified. If you saw what this woman went through. Not only that, she had to have skin grafts in order to heal her skin. Skin grafts are painful and they're very expensive. So all they wanted from McDonald's, all she wanted, all they asked for was for them to cover their medical costs, which were about $80,000, even with insurance, okay? $80,000 is what they were having to pay in order to get her these skin grafts and get her back up and running again. Okay, so McDonald's said, no, we'll give you $800. And so that was obviously very, I can't think anymore. That was very insulting to them. Okay, so that's when they took it to court to get her medical bills covered. And they also sued, as I said, for punitive damages. Okay, so what happened is they went to court and everything else, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And everybody was saying, oh, my God, this is a frivolous lawsuit, frivolous lawsuit, frivolous lawsuit. And she ended up winning, okay, as you know. Now, the reports say that she actually won millions of dollars, right? No, she was awarded $1.25 million, okay? However, the judge at that point, the jury, this is a jury ruling that she was entitled to, she bared 20% of the fault. They gave her 20% of the fault, and McDonald's bared 80% of the fault, okay? And as a result of this, they ruled that she was entitled to $1.25 million from McDonald's for her pain and suffering, punitive damages, and for her medical bills, okay? And then the judge took that ruling, which is your constitutional right to have a trial by jury, is it not? Yes, a trial by jury by your peers, and for them to rule on how you should be awarded for this case, not the judge. The judge is not to be part of this. However, because of what is called tort reform, which I'll explain in a minute, her case was reduced, or her award was reduced from $1.25 million to $425,000, okay? Now, that's not chump change, but is that fair that the judge decided to lower her award? No. The reason that it was lowered was because of tort reform. What is tort reform? Tort reform is, if you don't know, is when corporations, and they've been doing this since the early 80s, they go in and they lobby the government to make reform in lawsuits like this and say that you cannot sue over a certain amount of money. So, for example, if your doctor cuts off your dick, okay, and you're going in for, abdominal appendectomy, and he accidentally cuts your dick off, okay, because he mistook you for another patient or something, I don't know. And so taking your appendix out, he takes your dick off, and you wake up and realize you don't have a cock and balls anymore. You're now a eunuch, okay? And then you say, fuck you, I'm going to sue you for malpractice. Okay, so you sue the doctor. You sue the doctor and say, you made a mistake, you need to pay me because I have the rest of my life like this, for what you did and your mistake. So you sue the doctor, and let's say the jury awards you $50 million. For the rest of your life, you're set. Even though you have to live with your life with no cock and balls, you now can actually live a nice, decent life, okay, and do what you want. And then because of tort reform in that state, because Republicans, right-wingers, have gone to your state government and have said, you can't sue doctors for more than $500,000. They lower the $50 million to $500,000. This is why this is not fair. And these kind of cases are happening every day. And corporations are trying their hardest to prevent you and I from getting what is rightfully ours. And one more quick case I'll tell you about is there was a kid, twins born to a mother, and one of the twins, and it was in her, so they didn't know she had twins, okay? They went to the doctor, he found out she had twins, said we need to have surgery right away or whatever, and so they had the surgery, I mean, they had C-section, had the kids, came out, but because of something the doctor did, I can't remember what he did, something he told them to do or not do, the other kid, one of the two twins, was absorbed, some of his nutrients were absorbed, and so he came out very mentally slow, okay, very mentally slow, and they have to take care of him the rest of his life. The other twin's fine, but the other twin, because of the doctor's mistake, now is mentally slow the rest of their life. Now, these people are middle-class people, and they said they added it up from a third party, an objective third party, said it was going to cost about $3.25 million to take care of this kid. Or no, $4 million almost, take care of this kid the rest of their life, okay? So they went to court and eventually won the case against the doctor, and they awarded them what they said that was going to take them $3.75 million or whatever to take care of this kid for the rest of his life, meaning when they're, you know, throughout the rest of their lives, and when he's dead, so he wants to stay in some state institution, he'll be taken care of by nurses and things like that. So they lowered that judgment to like $600,000, okay, or $300,000, something like that. And so now these people can't do it. And this is because of tort reform. So you and I are being fucked over in our constitutional right. It's not constitutional. Some states have ruled that this is an unconstitutional practice, and other states have ruled that it's constitutional. So those states that have ruled that it is constitutional essentially are saying, fuck all the normal people. If you're a corporation, you have more rights than the person that you're fighting against because of tort reform. So this is what is so wrong with this fucking country. And you have to go check out, if you've never seen Hot Coffee, the documentary, you've got to check it out. It is an amazing documentary. It talks about this tort reform stuff. And people don't realize that your rights every fucking day are getting trampled on and taken away from you by corporations, by Republicans, by right-wingers, etc. So you've got to remember that when you vote for someone, when you put that person in office, whether it's a governor or a president or whatever it may be, you are putting that person's policies into play, and it's going to affect you. And the funny thing is, the ironic thing is about this story, one of these stories is that a Republican in Texas, here of course in Texas, voted for tort reform in Texas, and he sued his doctor for something that he fucked up on him, and they said, oh, you can't sue him because of tort reform. He said, what do you mean tort reform? It doesn't apply to people like me. He said, yes, it does. He himself had voted for the same law that prevented him from suing someone for fucking him over in his own state. He took away his own right. So that's why people need to be aware when you vote for someone or to vote against someone, because you need to look at the whole picture, not just what they're saying to you in front of your face. Caleb asks how she died. She just died of old age. I mean, she died like – she didn't die of the burns. She died like years later. But she died like 80-something, I think 86 or something, and she was like 76 when this happened to her. So the McDonald's hot coffee thing. So so you see what I mean is that you don't even know the truth about a situation. 92, that's – okay. Okay, thank you. You don't even know the truth about the situation until you actually look under the surface. People thought that whole lawsuit was frivolous and that, oh, they just took the media's take on it and said, well, the media says this and therefore it must be true. And so everybody started saying what? Frivolous lawsuits. That was the catchphrase. And that was the catchphrase that was started by the corporations who are moving for and have lobbied for tort reform. And so they got that out there and made people just like you and myself say that. When in reality, yes, of course, there are frivolous lawsuits. People bring lawsuits because someone steps on their toe or they fall on a store or whatever. I mean, it's because they want to get money or something. Of course, that happens. But there are multitudes and multitudes of other cases where that is not at all the case, you know? And people have to realize you've got to be vigilant, and you've got to realize when you're voting against or for someone that you're voting against or for yourself. So I just wanted to educate people just a little bit about that, because I wanted you to be aware that it is not by any means something to be taken lightly. When you vote for people, you are voting for yourself or against yourself in some way or another. And people do what the fuck they want anyway when they're in office. All you can do is vote for based on what they're going to tell you. But if you're voting for a certain policy like this, tort reform, you are fucking yourself over. And this is just one small example of how corporations are taking over this country today. And we're going to come back in a minute, talk more about that. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I only have half an hour left, so I'll be right back after this. If I can think of what I'm going to play. Hold on. What am I going to play? Give me an artist, somebody. Just name an artist, David or Caleb. Name an artist. Let's see if I have them on here. Name an artist. Somebody, please, name an artist. Artist, please. Thank you. Beyonce. I don't have any fucking Beyonce on here. Sorry. Beyonce. I don't have any Beyonce. I don't have Beyonce. I'll play Beyonce after the next break. He hates Beyonce. Oh, my God. I don't think she's that great either, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. I'll be right back.
Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I'll whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay, meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I can test on my luck. You can play on my team. Let's do the banana split on the dance floor. Got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay, I met him at the schoolyard round 2:45. We went out for cheeseburgers with extra cheese. I get my friends fries, crispy ketchup on the side. And when it comes to dessert, this is how I ride. I said, meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay. You know where to find me from. Made it to life. I'm on the sidewalk, chilling, looking all kinds of fly. Sometimes I get low, sometimes I get high. I like rainbows, sprinkles on my ice cream pie. Yeah, right. Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay. Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I can test on my luck. You can play on my team. Let's do the banana split on the dance floor. Got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay. Relax. Take it easy. Check it when you see me. I'm chilling with a nice tea. Watermelon iced tea. Relax. Take it easy. Check it when you see me. I'm chilling with a nice tea. Watermelon iced tea.
All right, so we're back, last half hour of the show. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. That was Caswell with Ice Cream Truck. I don't know if you've seen the video for Ice Cream Truck, but if you are a gay man, you must see the video for Ice Cream Truck because it's one of the best ever made, let me tell you, and you'll see why when you see the video for it. Of course, it is a double entendre with the Ice Cream Truck. Meet me at the Ice Cream Truck, you know, it's a double entendre there. Anyway, so speaking of that, there was wait, Caleb's just now seeing it in the chat room. He's just now seeing the video for Ice Cream Truck. Sorry, it's cracking me up. Anyway, so we were talking about Beyonce. They were saying in the chat room, David loves Beyonce. Well, I don't hate Beyonce. I mean, she's all right, but, you know, I probably feel the same way about Beyonce that you feel about Madonna. You don't love Madonna. You don't think she's the greatest thing since sliced bread or whatever. And I just love Madonna, and you just love Beyonce. So, you know, I think each gay guy has their own, like, female icon, you know. And, you know, Madonna was mine, so I guess Beyonce was yours. I know when I was growing up, it was Madonna. Who else was big? I'm trying to think. Who was big then? Really, that was when I was growing up. Oh, Janet, yeah, Janet Jackson, Madonna, Mariah Carey, of course, is a big diva. Who else was big in those days? I can't remember. Annie Lennox was big in the 80s, of course. I love Annie Lennox, by the way. She's awesome. One of the most underrated artists ever. She's an incredible artist. Just she writes her music, she writes her lyrics, and she's a great singer, amazing woman as well. Jody Watley, I remember Jody Watley. What was the name of that song she sang, Jody Watley? It was, I can't remember how it went. That was a good song, though. How'd it go? What was in that song? Don't You Love Me? Don't You Love Me? What the fuck? How the fuck did it go? I can't remember. Looking for a New Love. That's it. Yes, Looking for a New Love. I'm looking for a new love, baby. A new love. Yeah. I remember that song. Yeah, Caleb, they probably are. I mean, I'm pretty sure they are anyway. I'm not completely sure that they're gay, but I think they are in that video. I mean, they certainly sure as hell look like it, especially with their how they're acting and stuff. Yeah, probably why. Well, the main guy is, Caswell's gay. He's a gay artist, rap artist kind of guy. He's also a DJ. He really got his start as a DJ. But anyway, yeah, gay for pay probably, but whatever. You know, I'm noticing a lot of people doing that lately too. A lot of straight guys. You know, doesn't it piss you off though that almost all the straight people who play in the movies or whatever play gay guys are almost always straight? It pisses me off because you have all these really great gay roles and they keep going to fucking straight people. I'm like, that fucking pisses me off. And why is that? Because it's a challenge for them to play somebody gay because it's so fucking different than playing somebody straight. I mean, I don't know why that is. I think it's annoying, though. I think if you are a gay man, you should be able to play the gay roles. If you're just like a black person play a black role, a gay person should play a gay role. That's how I feel about it. I think it'd be ridiculous if you had some white woman playing Mamie and Gone with the Wind or whatever. I mean, it's just as ridiculous to me as having a straight man play a gay man to some degree. Of course, you see people on the outside when they're black, not always the same with a gay person. I realize that, but I think it's disrespectful and rude and it's not right to do that for gay people. I mean, in my opinion. Oh, yes. I remember that movie, Dean Cain and Broken Hearts Club. That was one of the, at the time, it's like 2000, I think that came out. That was one of the best movies, one of the best gay movies, Broken Hearts Club. And it's good for anybody to see that movie. It's a good movie. It's cute. Also, Zach Braff is in that movie, too, before he was like, you know, on Scrubs and all that stuff. Really good movie. I love that movie. And Dean Cain was really good looking, wasn't he? He was very good looking. He kind of reminds me of, what's that? What's Leanne Rimes' husband's name? Eddie Cibrian. They kind of look similar in the face, and their body types are different. They look similar in the face or whatever. I think he's hot, but he's an asshole. I've heard Dean Cain's not that nice either, by the way. I heard Dean Cain's a prick, and I've heard that Eddie Cibrian is a prick because he like cheated on his wife and everything else and like with a bazillion different women. But I don't know. I think they're cute too, yeah. Do you think that cheating is like the worst thing you can do to somebody, though? I mean, I think that when somebody cheats, there's probably something wrong in the relationship in the first place. I'm not saying, you know, some people I think cheat because they are cheaters, like it's in their DNA. I think there are people who are just honestly have that gene. It's like all they want to do is just spread their seed and if you want to put it that way, and just cheat. You know, they don't give a shit. They have no respect for somebody else or whatever. They act like they do, or they just can't control themselves. And so I think that that's why some people do it. Other people do it, I think, because they're unhappy or in a relationship or whatever the case may be, which isn't an excuse, but I'm saying it's probably the reason. And I think that, you know, you got to look at things realistically when it comes to relationships because people are complex. And if you don't communicate in a relationship, if you don't if you don't communicate in a relationship, if you don't talk, if you don't trust each other, if you don't have enough sex, if you don't have enough time together and kind of getting to know each other again and staying in touch and all that kind of stuff, you kind of lose what you had in the beginning. And a lot of people do that. They get into a relationship and they get comfortable, which is fine and good. But they get so comfortable that they forget you have to actually work at keeping your relationship alive. It's not something that you can just sit back and rest in your laurels and say, okay, you know, we're married now. Let's just, you know, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to look nice anymore. I'm not going to try to be sexy anymore. I'm not going to try to show interest in him or her anymore. You know, I think you have to really work at relationships. I know you do because I'm in one. I've been in relationships since I was 14 years old, and at one type or another. And I understand that they do take work, but it's a good kind of work. It's not like it's labor, you know. It's something that when you put the effort in, you get the reward, and it really does make a difference, as long as both people are on the same page. That's the trick about it, is both people have to agree that what makes a good relationship. If you don't, then you're fucked from the beginning. You also both have to agree on what you want out of the relationship, and if you're monogamous, if you're not monogamous, if you're going to have kids, you're not going to have kids, what kind of life you're going to live, and who's going to bring the money home, if you're both going to bring the money home, and all that kind of stuff, I really think makes a huge difference, you know, in my opinion. Let's see what you're saying in the chat room. Usually yes, but when you say better or worse, I think it means a millionaire or looking for a crack in the couch or whoring around. If you really love that person, it should matter who, what they do. You love them enough to forgive and move on. If someone cheats repeatedly, then I don't know. I think, you know, if I were ever cheated on by someone, I think that I would ask myself, what am I doing in this relationship? What is he not getting out of the relationship? That's what I would ask myself. And is there anything that he's not getting or he needs from me that I'm not providing for him? Because typically when people cheat, it's not always about sex. Sometimes it's because they're not getting sex at all, yes. But I think a lot of times it's about emotional connection or need or feeling important or feeling the way people feel when you first meet somebody, which is also something is a big mistake. The thing that the mistake almost everybody makes in relationships, in my opinion, is this, is like when you are first meeting somebody and you get those first romantic feelings and the first 2 years are all like, you know, like you're in the haze of love and everything. Yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. Those first 2 years or so, you are like in this haze. And you have your best behavior for the most part, and you're in love, and everything's perfect, and all the things they do to you are cute or whatever. And then about 2 years in the relationship, things start to change because the fog is lifted from the endorphins and stuff you get from being in love, and everything begins to lift. And you begin to see the person as they really are and not through the haze of love. And that is what creates a lot of problems in people's relationships. And there's a reason there's like called the 7-year itch. By the time that time rolls around, it's been a certain time period at the point where you have tried a few years. The first 2 or 3 years, you're really great and wonderful because you're in the haze. And the next 3 years, you keep trying to fix things and it doesn't work because you're trying the wrong way. But if you realize from the very beginning that feeling, that romantic feeling you first have when you first meet somebody, is not going to ever last with anyone. And a lot of people will go to one person and they'll be with them a few years and then leave them, go to the next, like George Clooney or somebody. And a lot of times that's because they keep chasing that initial feeling that you get when you first meet somebody, because that's the way love is supposed to be all of the fucking time. Like, you know, lollipops and roses and shit all the goddamn time. No, that is not love. What that is romantic love. Romantic love is one thing. Real, true, intimate love is something else. And a lot of people have a really hard time understanding the difference. So if you keep chasing that romantic love and thinking that what's missing in your relationship, no. What's missing is your realization that romantic thing is not the real part. The real part is what comes after. It's the trust. It's the devotion. It's the hard work and shit that goes into being with someone for a long time and really, truly loving them unconditionally. That is the real love that comes out. That is what matters, and that's the good stuff, and that's what lasts for a lifetime. Having a real friendship with someone, as well as sex and all that kind of stuff, is important too, of course. I'm not saying that's not important as well, but that's not important. You can still keep those things alive to some degree. I'm just saying that the feelings you have when you first meet someone, those are not real. All that is two chemical reaction between two people's bodies and endorphins and all that kind of shit going on and brain chemistry and shit just kind of mapping up. It's not real. It's not to say that it's not real in the sense that it's not, you know, it doesn't feel real, and that it is real, of course, but I'm saying it's not something that's meant to last forever. So hopefully that makes sense. David says, I'm a bitch and I like having my way. Not good for a relationship. It's okay. Best thing that ever happened to me. We're actually still friends. Well, yeah. Look, David, I got to say this to you, David. You are someone who is very, you're very, what's the word? What's the word I'm going to use here? You're someone who, from what I picked up, from when I've talked to you and everything about your past relationships and everything, you're someone who is quite, you just know what you want, okay? And you know who you are, and you don't want to settle for anything less than that. And on one, this is from what I've gotten so far. On one hand, that's fine, okay? On one hand, it's fine. But you can go too far with that, because you're never going to find someone to meet every single need. I don't care who you are. No one in this world will fulfill every need that you have. No one in this world will be perfect. No one in this world will be an ideal in your brain. you can meet, I don't care whoever it is, somebody in your brain that's the hottest thing, like Dean Cain or something, whoever you think is really hot or something, and you think he's going to fulfill every need you have because he does this, he's this way or whatever, you get into a relationship with him or anybody, the differences between your personalities are always going to come into play. And unless you want someone to be someone is submissive to you and you control everything they do and they say and they think, you're never going to have someone who is quote-unquote perfect and meets every need you. It just doesn't exist. And I wouldn't want somebody who's that perfect. First of all, I would never want somebody who meets every fucking perfect need that I have because it would annoy the fuck out of me, someone that fucking perfect. I'm sorry. I mean, like, get the fuck out of my face. I mean, I don't want somebody perfect because it doesn't allow you room to grow. And I really think, personally, you know, if you're spiritual or religious or whatever, that's fine, as I am to some degree in spirituality-wise. But I think, honestly, the purpose of a relationship is growth. It's emotional, spiritual, psychological growth. That's the reason you're in a relationship, and that's why we almost always pick someone that is the opposite of us, or if they're not the opposite of us, who pushes every one of our fucking buttons. We almost always do that because we end up with that kind of person. We don't really always realize that until after the fog is lifted, as I was talking about earlier, because that's the only way you grow. If you are in a relationship with someone who's just like you, or in a relationship with someone who does push your buttons or doesn't ever do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or whatever, you're never going to learn to grow as an individual in a relationship. And that's what it's about to me. And you can look at it that way spiritually, or you can look at it that way emotionally or secularly or whatever. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk some more. Last 16, throw back.
Yeah. So I wanted to quickly say something. I'll tell you about Pinkies in a second, but I wanted to say something about Caleb's real quick. Caleb said that it scares him to think that, because he's in a relationship for 1 year and 8 months with his boyfriend, and it scares him to think about what I just told him. But I just wanted to say to you, Caleb, I'm not saying that it's going to change so drastically that you won't know the person anymore. I'm just saying that the connection that you have, it will still be there, but the romantic, highly overwhelming romantic feelings that you have in the beginning of a relationship, they fade. It's to leave something more real. That's all I'm trying to say. And so as long as that's why I always say and advocate to people, don't get married until you've known someone for 2 or 3 years, even though I married someone after two. You shouldn't get married probably for two to three years, because that gives you enough time to begin to see the real person, not just the person that's in love and on their best behavior and trying to not say that they're fake. I'm just saying it's just natural to be in your best behavior for that period of time when you're first in love and everything. That's all I would think. So, yeah, I didn't think you were born then yet, Caleb. I thought you – well, that's so scary to know that you were born in 1989, and I was born in 1975. I really feel ancient. Oh, fuck. Anyway, and the funny thing is, the older you get, the older I get anyway, I still don't feel any – I still feel like, you know, I'm in my 20s, I guess. I don't feel like I'm 38 years old. Oh, my God. Anyway, so – but I am. It is what it is. And I'll be 40 in 2 years. Can't fucking believe it. So before we go, I want to talk quickly about Twinkies. Twinkies may come back. Went bankrupt, and they sold out the recipe to some other companies, and they've been distributed as Hostess Twinkies. This came back out yesterday or this weekend. So if you want a Twinkie, you can get a Twinkie now. Now, Twinkies are really delicious, but they sure are bad for you. But, God, they sure are good. But it's just scary to know that they actually are they last for fucking ever. I know. I love the new tagline, too, the sweetest comeback ever. That's great. I thought that was smart, too. You graduated high school in 89, David. Oh, my gosh. He was born in 89. I graduated high school in 1993. All right. So that's I think it's cool. And then there's one more thing I was going to say. Where is it? I saw it earlier. Is this it? Okay, this is the okay. This site that I released these figures on as a representation of the racial bias in just standard ground law enforcement, and this is how much. Okay, what is that? This is percentages. The figures represent the percentage likelihood that kills would be found justifiable compared to white on white killings. Okay, so. Out of the black on black killings are just found justifiable -50% of the time, or -25% of the time. Black on white violence or killings, or rather, are found to be justifiable -80% of the time, -80%. And white on black killings are found to be justifiable 354% of the time. So that is proof, and this is based on, from PBS, by the way, a Frontline, that is based on the
you know, what have found been found justifiable in the courts and everything else over the past, what is it, past 10 years. So it's obvious that there is a racial bias in the courts, as I was saying at the top of this hour. And it is something that is probably not going to change for a very long time, like Caleb and I were talking about. But it is something that is going to change eventually. And as we said, the fabric of the country is changing. The colors are changing. We're changing to a much more beige place. So eventually that will change. It probably won't be for 50 years or more before it really begins to make a huge difference in having more equality. But I think it will change eventually. So I guess we shall see. So that's it for tonight. If you want to check me out, you can go to offlimitsshow.com. You can check me out at blogtalkradio.com/offlimits. You can go to stitcher.com, find me there as well as on TalkShoe. And on iTunes, you can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, and you'll get that automatically on your iPhone or iPod or your iTunes account or wherever you have iTunes. And I hope you guys have a great night, and I will talk to you later. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, David. Thanks, Caleb. I'll talk to you later. Good night.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.